Okay, hi. I'm Banca. I'm 33 years old. Today is January 23rd, 2020. We're at the a new children's museum, and I'm here with Megan, and she is my loyal curator. What? I think so.
Servant.
Servant or something like that.
Oh my God, that's so uncomfortable to
say,
isn't it?
It is.
Well, I'm Megan Dickerson. Today is January 23rd. I'm 40. I turned 40. I'm at the New Children's Museum, and I'm with Panka, and she is my loyal artistic servant. We bow
Yes,
before each other.
we did.
Yes. We. So. I already chose one question to start off
I'm
with,
ready.
but and it's pretty open, but who or what first brought you to the museum?
First thing that brought me to this museum was actually my best friend, like that one friend that you, this is your best friend, like still talk to her, but you know, we both have our own lives. But I will never forget her mom would take us on these outings. And one of them was to the spaghetti factory, and then we came to the children's museum, and it was like the most amazing time ever. Like I didn't even know how to describe it to my parents when I got back. I was just like, "Oh my God!" You know, like I think it was the first time I had ever been in a such a interactive museum ever. You know, ever, ever. So it was definitely it marked me. My friend's parents brought me. So yeah.
So that would have been in the 90s sometime.
I think it was 92,
92.
93. Yeah.
So I think that this location had just opened at that point. So it was probably the crazy warehouse.
Yes, it was a warehouse.
Yeah.
And I remember very much the this what we had to wear. It was like these suits, like these little like, you know, kind of like dexterous type of suits, but it was
Totally.
so cool because you felt more immersed into this situation. You know, you're like, wow, I'm painting this like car and getting it all over, and it's okay. So the difference from school, you know, you had to be careful and everything. So it was really neat. Yeah.
I mean, just the act of putting on this suit that you'd never worn in this place that you'd never been. I mean, I wonder what made you feel comfortable doing that, you know, because it's all new things all at once.
Yeah, I think it was allowed. And that's something that, you know, hanging out at the museum, talking to the people that work here, they've told me that they've had to tell parents that a lot of things are okay. And I think for me, in my household was very strict, and my friend, her household was a little more you know, laid back, open. And so the fact that, you know, I was with them, I felt a little more at ease and more myself. And then not only that, but then they take me to this museum where like you can paint and like actually that's the point. So it was really cool. Yeah.
And you got spaghetti.
Yeah, spaghetti. I mean, what else?
The best day
What do you
ever.
need? Yeah.
The old spaghetti factory,
Yeah.
then the children's museum.
Yeah.
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 So, how did you get started as an artist then?
Well, around that same time, I think even that same year, I mean, there is an artist that's very well known here named Wylan, and I remember he came to my school and he painted a mural right outside of my classroom. And I just remember just like the teacher was talking, and I was just heard like blah 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 blah, because I kept thinking the muralist was like, oh my God, he's painting outside right now. And the teacher was just like talking to me, and I was like not even like listening. And it
It's like the
was,
Charlie Brown,
yeah,
wah, 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 wah,
exactly.
wah.
Yeah, I was like, blah, 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 blah. So I think that made me realize that I loved murals. And then also, my parents took me to a few museums in Mexico City. There's tons of murals in, you know, in the city. So all that combined, I think around that time I just realized that it was just something I did, you know, whenever I was alone or bored, and my siblings were a lot older than me, so I was alone a lot. So it was kind of like something I used to pass the time and to entertain myself, and also to kind of keep myself busy. And it was also like a nervous thing I think I did. And I also realized I did it to relate to adults because I was around adults a lot, and so I couldn't really you know, keep a conversation, you know, with an adult, mm-hmm. but I could show them images and kind of communicate with them. And my family said that I would do that, like drawing on napkins. Mm-hmm. And my family, they would play domino a lot, mm-hmm. and just drink coffee and, like, you know, smoke cigarettes. And so I would just like slip them napkins, like a cloud of smoke and like a napkin with a drawing, you know. And I think I would do that to my uncles and my grandparents. Uh-huh. It was like, pay attention to me.
So I'm imagining people sitting at like a round table or something, yeah. like that. And then there's just this like tiny panka shows
yeah,
up.
Like
and
little
it's
hand.
Just like, yeah. Yeah. Passes like, a cocktail napkin yeah. over.
It's like, yeah.
What kind of drawings do you remember?
There were probably, there's a couple. I wish I would have kept all those notebooks. But I remember I drew the most when I would go to Mexico, because it was the time that I was like alone with just adults, like 80-year-old people and 40 and 60 and above. And my cousins were all off doing things, so I was alone a lot, and I would just fill these books with drawings. And I have a couple of them, but they're just, like, people doing things, like, you know, I loved animals. So a lot of, like, I think I would, like, kind of draw what was going on, stuff like that, you know, mm-hmm. very similar to what I do now. It's kind of funny. It's like nothing has changed.
mm-hmm. Well, in play, a lot of what we enjoy doing as kids is what we really are at our core,
yes.
right? That thing continues. And some people get to continue doing that kind of play, and then some people just seem to forget about it.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So it seems like you've been able to continue that into now this really great career.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. It's really cool to meet places like this that, you know, that kind of encourage that, and then you get in touch with that, and then it opens up a whole part of you that you're like, oh, okay. This is cool. You can, you know, help other people find it. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, when I think about you, I think about you as a really good observer and watcher, yeah. right? I'm thinking about the, you know, the degree of detail and the faces that you draw. You know, each one yeah. is different. And you feel comfortable in that role as kind of an observer, right?
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes I don't realize how much I observe. Sometimes I'm like, oh, man, you know. But when you observe, you're just constantly learning. So mm-hmm. it's kind of great. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you can't turn it off. mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, wait, so this is sort of this is off script, I guess. But when we first met with you at Sukkot, so that was 2 years ago.
Yes.
What were you thinking? So we kind of cold called you. I think we contacted
yes.
you off of Instagram, or Diana had contacted you. Like,
yeah.
what were you expecting? What did you think this was going to be?
Wow. I mean, I thought you guys were going to, like, offer me, I don't know, a job at the store or something. I had no idea. Like, I had no idea. You know, just my artist was so, my art is and very visceral and raw in so many ways that, but I always felt like I was connected to, like, my inner child. So when you guys called me, I was just like, God, hello? Like, okay. You know, like, it was cool. I was super excited. And right away, actually called my friend. I was like, Ashley. I was like, guess what? You know, like, you know, this and that. And she's kind of, like, you know, in the background, like, rooting for me because she's super excited about it. But, I mean, I was super, super overwhelmed. And I thought, wow, this is definitely something that I feel like a seed. You know, like, I felt it, like, it wasn't, you know, like, yeah, like, this is gig. It just felt like something that if it was going to work out, it was going to grow and slowly, and it really did. It mm-hmm. took a minute, but with the first project, it's been really great. So mm-hmm. I don't know. So far, it's been my best experience in a museum.
Aww.
Yeah, you guys are really great to work with.
You're really great to work with.
Yeah, the whole team. So it's great.
Well, and you just sort of know, right? And it's weird. This probably sounds funny, but it's like dating. You just, you mm-hmm. meet, you know, you meet an artist and you just, this makes sense.
Yes.
You know? And I think we were talking about, I don't know, Pee Wee's Playhouse and
yeah.
RoboCop or whatever, you know, just immediately. And it just felt like it was Jill and Diana and you and
yeah.
your friend was with you, I think.
No, it was just
you. It was just you.
Yeah.
But yeah. And it's funny because sometimes they, like, I think the best things here have started slowly, where you kind of get to know each other a little bit, because I think trust is a big part of what makes this possible here.
Yes.
Because we do, it's different, right? If you yes. do a commission for a store or another museum, usually it's here's the wall, work on the wall. But here it's different.
Right? It's like meet. It's like get to know the environment and get to know what kind of people are coming here, why they come here, who is taking care of them, why they care that they're taking care of. It's so many layers, and it's like I think that's why I prefer it in comparison to like a contemporary museum, which I love also. You know, I'm doing a show right now, but there's a different like the shows are. It's kind of more like a jungle wildlife because, it's, you know, people will, like, eat you up and critique you and everything. And here it's like, well, I got critiqued here by some kids. That was hardcore. But it's a lot – I don't know. I just don't – I feel, like, a lot more pressure. But at the same time, I feel like the environment is just so much more softer and kind of beautiful because it does involve kids. And there's other things to appreciate aside from, like, oh, is it new? Is it – her style is it's like, no, it's like, it's for kids. You have to, you know, kind of think about it in a different way. So I like that very much about the museum.
Like holistic?
Yeah, like a holistic, like not even like spiritual, but just like, I don't know, like that whole connecting into your inner kid thing, you know, you have to like, oh, that's, you know, that's dumb. It's like, well, yeah, but you're thinking about it in a different way. You have to see it in the eyes of a child and like, how this will make them kind of think and what good will this do? Will this entertain them and this and that? So there's a lot of things, you know, that go into it. But and when you're in a show, in like a contemporary art show, it's like more ego, I think, like a little bit. Like I'm not trying to show off here. I'm trying to like get kids to have a good time, you know.
And connect.
Exactly. Through art.
Yes.
Basically what it did to me. So it's like, and it, that actually makes it harder. But it's cool. It's a good heart. You know, it's not like, oh, this is a horrible situation. It's like, no, it pushes you more. So that's
good. Is it? So what makes it harder?
The fact that, like, if it had an impact on you as a child and you don't want to, like kind of, like, not get to that level to another, to the same kid. Not the same kid, but, like, a whole generation. So you have to kind of, like, know how kids are today because kids aren't the same as when I was a kid. Like, they'll laugh at the stuff that, you know, I probably watched. So they're like, woo! You know, so I need to, yeah.
But the fact that you know that, I think that people often think of kids, just kids.
Yes.
Give them something brightly colored and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right? And to know that there are differences depending on when you grew up and who you grew up with and where you grew up and to know that everybody is different.
Right.
Because people, I think, often don't think of kids as... God, human.
Yeah.
They think of them as some sort of like embryo or larval stage, right? Versus they're people.
Yeah. And they're pretty sophisticated at very, at points where you're like, whoa, like they're seeing this in a deeper way than, you know, that I am because I have all this, all these clouds of thought and other things that I've seen on in movies or whatever. And they see it in a different way. So, and they're being molded, their little minds. So it's also, you have to be very careful with that. And it, there's like a big responsibility. So it's not like an easy thing, but at the same time, it makes it like that much more precious to like be able to, I don't know, to get something good growing in them, you know? It's really cool.
So that reminds me of what you mentioned earlier when you were developing Smile, the mural on the bridge, and you graciously came to the street art camp, so one of our many summer art camps, and you sat at a table with maybe 12 or 13 kids who critiqued you. And you were so humble about it.
They tore me up, yeah.
They tore you up in a way that wasn't, the same, you're describing the contemporary art critique where it's, well, in contrast to this, or trying to situate it in some larger art historical narrative, they were just, well, why?
Yeah.
What about this?
And I'll never forget somebody, one of the kids mentioned, it's so simple, but it makes sense because it shows you that you can do it. And I was like, oh my God, this kid got it. Like, that's literally what, like, the basis of my work is. Like, he should write my thesis. Like, this is really, really good. Like, it's basically that. It's like, you know, you're not trying to, like, wow this kid. You're trying to get them to realize, oh my God, I can do that. That's a large-scale version of a drawing that I could do, but it's on the wall. But how does it, why is it done? What, you know, those questions, you know, start kind of brewing. But yeah, that was the greatest experience with kids critiquing me ever. You know, I have my nephews and nieces, and I have a couple of artist friends that their kids are just like these little geniuses because they've been around them. Like, I've walked into their house and they're like with a hair dryer and they're like, "Hi, Bianca," and they're like not even looking at me and they're just like drying their paint. I'm like, I do that, but and they tell me, "Oh, your next show, you're not gonna do the same thing, are you?" Like, they're so like like on me. I'm like, oh, and that experience was even more like intense. I was like, wow, because those were the kids that were gonna be seeing that mural. So it was very, very nice reality check.
But you really asked them what they thought, and you said it in a way that wasn't, "So guys, what do you think?" I don't really want to hear what you think, but tell me what you think. You're just like, "So, what do you think of this? This is what I'm working on." You were just very real with them.
Right. Yeah. And because I know that, you know, all day kids, not that they get talked down to, but, you know, they have to get spoon-fed a lot of things because they are children and they need help, you know, going to school and this and that. But for a moment for them to have, like, the power to tell, like, an adult what they think about something that's going to be around them is, like, really cool. So that's what I kind of was like, oh, I'm going to be an equal here. We are, but, you know, I'm going to give them, like, the wheel and let them drive this and see where it goes. Because, dang, maybe they give me an idea. I don't leave that out. You know, they could possibly tell me, well, why don't you center that? Or why is it so off to the side? I don't know. Like, they could. I've had little kids tell me stuff, and I'm like, wow, that's kind of a good idea. So, you know, stuff like that. Mm. Yeah.
I think you just articulated the mission of the museum. But that is, it's when I think about it, I think about trust.
Yeah.
Trusting each other. And also this idea of that nobody's a teacher and nobody's a student.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, I don't know if I talked to you about this, but Paulo Freire, who's an educator and writer and wrote this book, The Pedagogy of the Oppressed, And he talked about how there's this banking system of education where we're so used to thinking that here I am the expert and I'm going to put all this information into my student and I'm just trying to deposit that information, and if I've deposited all my information, then I've done a good job, right? Versus this model where we're all teachers and we're all students and we learn from each other mediated by our environment. And I feel like that's just a better way to live, where you are open to that. You know? Yes,
and I think that's something that I since I was little, I mean, my parents are immigrants, and there was just like the very, you know, typical family, you know, the dad and the mom, and, you know, they were always right, and, you know, never, even if they were wrong, they were not going to apologize, they were wrong. And so when you're a kid and, you know, sometimes, you know, they're wrong, like, you know, or this is wrong, or society is wrong, and all that's, you know, kind of reminds me of that. You have to...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as a kid, when somebody gives you a chance to kind of decide and stuff, it's kind of a great thing, especially when you have a museum that lets you do that and run around.
And that's the difference, I think, between a typical children's museum, because here, because we are a contemporary art museum, there's such a focus on critical thinking, and it's not just delivered to you in an already digested way. We haven't figured it out. From my perspective, as your loyal curatorial servant, we're constantly trying to figure it out. You know, you and I are going to be working on this project in the next year, and we don't know. Like, I can't imagine what it's going to be. You probably have a better idea of what it's going to be at this point because you're thinking about it. But we're at this point where we don't really know, right? And being comfortable with that unknowing, I think, is somewhat unusual.
And it goes back to trust, because I'm not going to say I don't know either, but I do know it's in there. I do know, and, you know, it's going to be great. But you guys also take a huge risk with artists doing that. And, you know, as what I can see, the exhibitions that are outside that are amazing means that you guys have made the right choices. And, I mean, for me, it's super, super, like, nerve-wracking, but... you know, all these work, what do you call it? experiences that we're going to have kind of get me excited and take the fear away, you know, mm-hmm. about it. So, mm-hmm. so yeah, I'm pretty stoked about that.
Me too.
Yeah.
So you talked about this a little bit, but what do you hope people see and feel when they are playing in your installation?
I think number one, freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom to play and to be themselves, and also to kind of also as just as much as for the kids, for the parents. You know, lately a lot of my friends have been coming to the museum, and they go bananas, and mm-hmm. and I know that a lot of them, you know, they want to sit down and they appreciate art. So I want both ends to have freedom. You know, from their daily life that's like, you know, woo, hectic, just for kids, as adults. And then also stimulation visually definitely is like on the top, you know, mm-hmm. I just want to take advantage of the space and just kids to be overwhelmed, but in a good way overwhelmed stimuli visually, and also to be at peace. So it's kind of like a overwhelming zen mm-hmm. experience mm-hmm. that can come out of this. And also, you know, get in the physical part of it. You know, I want there to be like a climbing, you know, mm-hmm. type of thing, because I believe like the physical activity part of it is really mm-hmm. important for kids. And that way be inclusive for kids a little bit older and mm-hmm. smaller. And like also like problem solving in a way. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm, I don't know mm-hmm. how the heck I'm going to do that, but I'm going to do it. I have mm-hmm. to get all those things mixed in.
Where do you see that happening now in the museum when you kind of you think about what's existing? Like that feels closer to that feeling.
Oh, I would say a combination between the Wonder Space mm-hmm. and Tiki Tiko. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also the... This thing?
WAMAC.
The WAMAC, yeah. Because that's like the physical, mm-hmm. and then it has also like the creative part and the thinking mm-hmm. and also like the little world and all that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the emotional part of Tanya's exhibition mm-hmm. is so cool. Like, mm-hmm. I love it. You know, right now that we saw that little baby in there with the hat, it was just like, oh my God, I want to be that baby. Like,
seriously, yeah, this tiny little baby with a pointy hat. Pointy like, looks hat. Like a little, like, gnome baby. On white astroturf. Yeah.
And the mom had a little beanie, too. And I was like, oh. Like,
a little matching beanie family.
Yeah, like that, you know. But, yeah, like, seeing that, all that gets me super excited. Because mm-hmm. I think, oh, man, how can I make this, like, thinking people are going to be sitting here and like enjoying mm-hmm. their time. Mm-hmm. Just make it the best for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and people yeah. spend far more time in installations here than in any contemporary art museum.
Yeah, definitely.
You're gonna spend hours.
Yes. And versus... you can touch stuff.
Yeah.
Like I that's the thing, you know, you go to, you know, to the Broad and all that, and I love it, you know, every time I get to go. But, you know, there's that barrier mm-hmm. because it is, I mean, you know, it's super expensive, that mm-hmm. piece of art that you want to touch. But here, the fact that, you know, you can like put your kid in the art is really yeah. cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Bianca, can you tell Megan a little bit about what the most like impactful moments for you during childhood were relating to art?
I think the most impactful moments for art. Okay, so I think one of them is actually religious, and it's really weird because when I was little, my family would, I think it's because they were immigrants, they wanted us to like, because, you know, we were getting like super Americanized over here, and, you know, they wanted us to go to all these places in Mexico, so we would, and then it was always a thing to go into the freaking church, and they have these really, really elaborate, like, dramatic as heck, like, you know, crucifixion, all these like monos, and they mm-hmm. took me to this one specifically in Taxco in Mexico, where like they sell, where all like the silver comes from. Mm-hmm. We would always go there, mm-hmm. and it's like a super nice town, And we were there, and they're famous for having, like, a really dramatic, crazy church. And I remember being, like, 10, and it was the first time. No, this was when I was 5. And I remember they told me, look, Paola, es Diosito. It's like a way of saying, look, that's God, like, in a nice way. And I misunderstood Osito. So I thought God was a bear for, like,
Like a little bear.
Like, we have to pray to Diosito. And I was like, we're praying to a bear? So, like, it threw me off. And, like, the whole art of, like, religion, just, like, just imagine, like, the Virgin Mary and, like, a bear. Like, so for me, it was just like, okay, this doesn't make sense.
Yes.
So, anyways, after I went to that church, it kind of wigged me out. And I asked to not ever go into, like, a church again, like, if I could just wait outside. So that was one. And then once they realized I wasn't into that, they started, like, giving me books, you know, Diego Rivera, and we had art hung in my house. And then another moment that was kind of big for me was my sister went to Spain to, you know, study, and she started sending me postcards from, you know, Gaudi and Diego Rivera, Salvador Dalí. Mm-hmm. And just because she knew I was a weirdo, and she was like, hey, look, you know, I went to this museum. And that kind of opened up the whole surrealistic part, you know? Because mm-hmm. so far I had just dealt with, like, Frida and mm-hmm. Remedios Varo and all that. Mm-hmm. So I was a little backed up. So that was really, really impactful, you know? Mm-hmm. But the religion part, I think, is something worth noting because, you know, it's just so in your face. Mm-hmm. And I think that even in some of my paintings, it kind of tends to come out, and it's just like the dramaticness of it. You know, it's like, oopsie.
Yeah. Like your ice cream painting kind of like, looks like
it's like
Virgin of Guadalupe a little bit. Have you ever thought about that? Because the shape of it is just but it's ice cream.
Man, dang it. Oh, man.
But it's in there, right? Yeah. I mean, that's a super big
influence. And then, I mean, my family, like, my mom grew up in a convent as a child. And so we actually were, like, super, not agnostic, but, like, the family that didn't really, like, do church stuff. So that was, like, the only thing. And it was enough for me to be like, no.
Yeah, not for me.
Not for me.
The art, maybe. Osito, maybe.
Yeah. I was like, Osito, yeah. So.
Wait, have you ever drawn a bear in your work?
I have drawn a bear. There's a few things that I actually can't draw for, like, to save my life. And if you saw my drawing, you'd be like, you're not an artist. Like, one's a
maybe
chicken.
Maybe you're just so freaked out.
Yeah, well, one's a chicken. Like, I don't know why I can't draw chickens. Like, I know you guys have a thing with chickens here, but, like, yeah. I can't draw chickens. I can't draw elephants really well.
Yeah.
It's like something happens. And then
something happens.
Yeah, and like my bears look weird too. Like they just look like weird, like Mickey's. Like I don't know,
but, like Mickey Mouse bears.
Yeah, like a Mickey Mouse like Ken doll. Like it's weird. And
but I kind of want to see.
Yeah, I kind of want to draw. And then but the chicken's bad. Like chicken's super super mentionable. Like yeah, chicken's
okay.
Bad.
So maybe your installation you should challenge yourself. Yeah. There should be like a hidden chicken.
Yeah,
and
like kind of like have you ever seen that thing where it's like badly made stuffed animals?
Yes.
What do you call them when you stuff them and they die and you put them in the
taxidermy?
Like
I think they die first before.
Oh,
you
sorry.
Stuff them.
Oh, yeah,
otherwise you're a psychopath.
That's like Texas Chainsaw. No. Basically, it's like messed up taxidermy. Like
yeah. Oh,
my
God,
drawing
yes.
looks like that. Like yeah. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't we sidetracked a little bit.
No. All I want to talk about is weird taxidermied bears. I watched part of that show Midsommar, that movie.
Oh, the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took my friend to see that movie cuz I really liked the first movie he did, Hereditary.
Yeah.
It's few movies scare me enough to where I can't turn off the light in my house.
Yeah.
And I couldn't turn off the light in my house for 3 months.
Three months.
Because that one scene, you know what scene. Okay. But anyways, I told my
Midsommar
friend.
Midsommar is.
Yeah. I told my friend who's like, oh, I love Sweden. And I'm like, no, dude, but like, this isn't like a Swedish like movie. This is a movie about people that go to Sweden, but like, it's not like traditional.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was so offended. Like, he was like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, but don't, like, hold on. I'm like, this art, like, this is an art
movie.
But he was so mad. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I took you to see this movie. And I know it is weird, but there's a certain part. It is beautiful. And it's kind of says a lot about society.
Yeah.
And, like, our norms and
yeah.
relationships and talks. And I read that the director said it's a movie about a breakup. It's a breakup movie. Yeah. And it really is.
Yeah.
It's a really crazy one, but
it was like the bear thing that reminded me of it, because that really creepy the bear part. Yeah.
That's a great Halloween costume, by the way.
Oh god. Oh yeah. God.
Like not a like just like get like a bear face yeah. thing and then just put the thing.
Oh,
put
the girl and then just one. Be frozen in
and
it.
And then your girlfriend can be like the girlfriend can be just flowers and you
that
get
is
like,
a good
yeah.
So I'm actually gonna bring this back to your yeah. work, yeah. believe it or not. But because you like your work is so bright and colorful, right? Mm-hmm. So people I think would think, you know, there's a lot yeah. of, but it also has that aspect of just like that weirdness,
yeah.
you know, like, yeah. so maybe this is a weird question, but what is it in your life? Like what made it possible for you to just like own your weirdness, just to be weird, right?
Oh, that's a good question. And that's actually going back to the like art stuff that marked me as a kid. And I would definitely say, and this goes back to the same friend that brought me to this museum. So the reason that that's not the reason, but my brother and sister took me to this Sick and Twisted Festival as a kid, because it used to be like outside over there in La Jolla. And so I went a couple of times. This probably wasn't under my parents' knowledge, you know, I went. And they took me, and I discovered Ren and Stimpy, mm-hmm. and I discovered, like, Young Flock, all this stuff that was kind of intense, you know, Beavis and Butthead and all that, mm-hmm. and Daria and all that stuff. And I remember that first day of school, I was, like, bouncing a ball, and she came up to me with, like, the sweetest voice ever, like you know, Forrest Gump, like, you can stay here if you want. She was just like, do you want to be my friend? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't know anybody. And we started talking, and she was like, you know, what do you like? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to lose a friend right now. And I'm like, I like Ren and Stimpy. And she was like, I love Ren and Stimpy. And so her parents let her watch it. I had to watch it in secret. It was like, what is this? You know, so... Aww. Like she had a shirt, like I had my shirt, like I didn't even have a shirt. It was like, no way, you know? So I think that, that weirdness,
yes.
like, and so much, I was so excited about her loving Ren and Stimpy that, I was supposed to get picked up from school, and she was a latchkey kid.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I lived down the street. You want to go to my house and watch Ren and Stimpy? And I'm like, my mom was late. I was like, okay. So there I go. I'm like first day of first grade, and I leave. And let's just say that the cops had to come and get me because I was watching Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did you just disappear?
Yeah. And they're like, where was you last seen? The cops and everything.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And I was at my friend's house.
That was like your first day of first grade?
First day of first grade.
Yeah. Started off right.
Yeah. With a bang. I had a friend, but I also had the cops called. So. Yeah.
In summary, yeah. I had a friend, but the police were yeah. involved.
Yeah. And I just remember watching it and then being like, ooh, I think I had to do something. Like, I had to call somebody and let them know I was here.
But you're so little.
Yeah.
You don't know.
It was on. It was like two episodes.
It's not like
back
you had a
back.
Cell phone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I love that. So my friend Vera was here with her cousin, and he came out of Whamic.
Yes.
And he's like, I made a friend.
Oh.
And then this like little kid who's like exactly his height like came back, and they're just standing next to him. She's like, yeah, I'm his friend. And she was like, great, good, yeah. okay. And suddenly she's making plans with the other kid's caregiver about where they're gonna go next. And it's just, it's so simple
to see when right? friends are made. It's,
yeah,
it's so cute. I just think back to the ball.
Yes,
you know, it's
yes.
like, do you want to play with me? It's like, oh, that's so cute, you know, like.
But that's how I felt when yeah. I met you
yeah.
when we're sitting there
yeah,
at that table, and it was just, we immediately geeked out on
Willy Wonka.
Yeah, Willy Wonka.
We
that's
were like,
right.
Willy Wonka, and like,
yeah.
It just worked. It's like you said, it's almost like dating. It's like, oh, hey, you know, you're into Willy Wonka. It's like, what? Like, the hell's Willy Wonka? It's like, Willy Wonka, like, my God. Like,
yeah.
how can you not
talk
3 hours about Willy Wonka and
yeah.
the tunnel and everything?
Exactly. And it's very scary.
Yeah, it's scary, yeah. but brilliant. And
we don't know which way it's going.
Yeah.
Right.
God. Yeah. And
but when
Wilder
like,
and everything.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
So
compare
shines
the other one.
A
yeah.
good
yeah.
deed in a weary
world.
World.
Oh. or We Are the Dreamers? That's the one that gets me.
We Are the Dreamers of Dreams. We are the music makers?
Makers, yes. I should know that. I should have tattooed that on, like, somewhere.
That's what we should have said as our occupations.
I know.
We're the Dreamers of Dreams.
Oh my gosh. I still need to, like, at some point in my life, swim in a chocolate river. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, like, that you want to talk about, or
I don't know. I'm just really excited and grateful, and this is amazing. I don't know. I'm super excited to get the workshops going and working with the kids, and I kind of want to see what the camp kids have to say about what I have going.
I need to get
their approval before I step forward.
Oh, could you tell the story of the kid? So Cheyenne.
Cheyenne,
who made the sticker.
Cheyenne.
Like, I can tell you, I mean, like, the little bit was that she'd made a sticker, and she'd asked Diana, can you ask Panka if it's okay that I've made this sticker, right? Because it was a play off of what you'd made.
Yes,
for
it was her
mural,
version,
right?
Of it, yes.
And then what, she gave it to you?
She made three, and she gave me one that I put on my phone. And it was, like, on my phone for, like, a year. Good ink, by the way, because it didn't – I mean, you know when you grab your phone and your hand and everything?
Yeah.
And then my friend who just brought his baby, he saw and he was like, oh, my God. And he didn't even, you know, give me the option because there was two. He was like, let me have that. And he put it on his phone. So, like – and then the other one I managed to keep and I put it in, like, my memory box. I was like, no, I'm keeping one. Mm-hmm. And so, that thing was, like, photographed. And, like, I think for, like, any selfie I took for, like, the 6 months where it was really visible, it was, like, all in my selfies. It was, I was like, Cheyenne. And I would always tell people the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was the sweetest thing ever. I hope she knows it. Like, I really, really, really liked it.
Yeah.
And it was exactly like the mural. So it was like, wow, she really liked it.
Right. Well, and it's just such a... I think you're really aware of the, you know, the power that you have as an artist.
Yeah.
And my niece got super into street art after meeting you and still talks about you.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, and she's really excited that you're coming back and she wants to come see you. But you know, so that one thing, it was maybe 30 minutes of your time talking to that group of kids had this huge ripple effect. But what I think is really beautiful is it didn't just have a ripple effect for them. It also had a ripple effect for you.
Oh, yeah. I think more on me. And then also the fact that they're little girls. Because, mm-hmm. like, me growing up, like, I mean, you know, I talked to you about Wyland and stuff. And, like, I think I can remember the teachers and the people that – and the women that were, like, you know, specifically, like, looking out, you know, not being like, oh, you're loud, you're, you know, disruptive, or you're, you know, you're not paying attention, or you always go to the nurse when the math stuff comes. That's what I would do. But it was, like – they knew that I, you know, I had something in there, you know, so it's like, I don't know, like, always pay attention to those. I love that, you know, the little girls are able to, like, get excited because I'm like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Who knows, you know?
Like, I want to be a skateboarder now.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. So. Oh my God. It's super, it's really gnarly to have that effect because, you know, at the same time you are who you are, but you also have to realize when it comes to doing, you know, an exhibition like this, you filter out so many things of you, you know, that are not perfect, but you get to a point where it's, like, super beautiful and you can express that part. And also, it's almost like making, like, a little diamond. You know, that's pretty much what it is out of a lump of coal. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much what it is when it comes to working with kids. Mm-hmm. Well, I think so. Oh, crap. Yeah. Yeah. If you hear up, that was me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that the question? What was the question?
No, I mean, just thinking about it, just that you just like the process and
oh yeah,
and the responsibility because you are a role model.
Yeah, because you're a role model, but then also you're like, oh man, you know, I'm not perfect. So it's like you have to like kind of let kids know, like, oh, okay, like I'm a work in progress, kids. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, but this is what's coming out, and never give up. And basically, that's the best thing you can tell them. You know, like, mm-hmm. keep going.
I think they sense that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not trying to let out the I got it all together vibe, but mm-hmm. I definitely want to give out the, you know, keep going vibe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aww. Q, don't start believing. Don't stop believing.
Exactly. Dreamers of dreams, don't stop believing.
I love you, my artistic partner.
I love you too. I am your artistic servant.
Artistic servant. I know.
Yeah.
It's fun.
That was really 40 minutes? Wow. Oh, sorry. I ruined the whole thing.
No. Now this is the end of the show where there's just a dance party and like
all the balloons
come down and the music comes on and we all just like dance it out, you know?
Wow.